Blog Talk Radio. Firefly Willows LIVE presents Evolve, featuring your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us on this episode of Evolve, Nurturing the New in Consciousness, the Arts, and Culture, with your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney. Evolve brings you people and ideas on the cutting edge of change, opening the shells of the past to move our culture into the now. The arts and evolving consciousness are how we are bringing that change to the culture at large. Evolve brings you the wise, the foolish, and the heart-based to help us meet the challenges of the times we are in. Your host in helping you evolve is Robin White Turtle Lisney, who received her master's in fine arts from Mills College in creative writing in 2012, and her PhD in energy medicine in 2013. She is an author of 3 books, the most recent being Heart Path, Learning to Love Yourself and Listening to Your Guides. She has published poetry in many literary journals and numerous anthologies, and her poem First Step was selected for reading by survivors at the Virginia Tech Memorial Bench dedication in April 2010. In addition to her writing, Robin is also an artist whose work has been shown widely throughout the Midwest and East Coast. Robin White Turtle Lisney is a psychic medium and energy medicine practitioner through East West Bookstore in Mountain View, California, through her office in Santa Cruz, California, and across the country by phone. Robin travels across the country as a speaker and leading workshops. To find out more about Robin, you can visit her website at www.thecenterforthesoul.com. So take a breath, relax, and let yourself evolve with your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney.
This is an interview today with Barbara Thomas, and we're here in Ben Lomond, California, in the Redwood Forest. Welcome, Barbara, to this interview, and glad to be in your house.
Thank you, Robin. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I always like to hear what I say.
Well, I wanted to start today by just describing the land that you live on, because I think it will help people get a context for where you are and how you got here. And so let's start with your property, which is where you're working from.
Well, I have 12 acres of forest, and we first bought the amphitheater, which was on a 9-acre parcel, and it was a holy ground. It's a perfect rectangle, a holy ground at the bottom, and then at the top of that 9 acres is another flat space that is hilltop where you give your lodges.
Uh-huh.
And then we bought a house, well, a cabin, that was a tent that they put wood around the side. And that was a little over an acre and a half. And then a cottage came up next door that we bought, because I've always wanted to have a guest house.
Uh-huh.
And now it's open for people that come on retreat or people who give workshops.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. And the amphitheater is this beautiful oval space that has a canopy of trees, right? It has Madrone
and redwood.
And redwood.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the redwoods go straight, and then the madrones, in order to get sunlight, just like they're dancing, so they're very feminine. They move and weave around to find the sun.
Yeah.
So it's like a cathedral.
It is. It's so beautiful down there. I love it. Well, now that they have an idea, so you acquired this property some time ago, isn't that right?
I've lived here for 26 years.
Uh-huh.
We found the amphitheater first, and not found it. I knew the amphitheater for years, and I once, 10 years before we bought it, I put out the prayer to have land like the amphitheater. Well, I started the prayer with land with a redwood tree,
uh-huh.
and my daughter gave me a redwood tree in a box in a bucket for Christmas, and I planted it on my yard, and I thought, I'd better revise that prayer, because I now had land with a redwood tree. So then the prayer went out, I would like to have land like the amphitheater.
Ah.
And then 10 years later, I totally forgot it, that prayer, until 10 years later, a friend came over and said, Barbara, they're going to sell the amphitheater, and we'll never get to use it again.
Ah.
And the inner voice said, buy it.
Uh-huh.
And so I did, thinking I was saving it for the people that had had weddings there and ceremonies there.
Uh-huh.
But I live here now.
So how marvelous.
The land bought me.
Yeah. And I know, as we mentioned, that you, in the bio that's online, that you're an artist and an author. And so tell me a little bit about the artwork and how it's been inspired for you, your artwork and your writing.
Well, with the artwork, I was so fortunate to find a woman that just taught us to paint from the inside and just put things out on paper, not try to do anything. She did guide us a little bit for the doing, but then she'd help us solve those.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of those paintings that were non-representational, I had my bathroom had a outdoors to it, and I hung one on the wall outside. And one day, I was looking in the mirror and looking at that painting, and I saw a huge gnome in it. Looking at it directly, I couldn't see it, but that kind of backwards looking. And so I drew some lines and shifted colors and to bring him out. And from that time on, gnomes kept arriving in my paintings. I would paint and hang it on the wall for maybe a year, and then all of a sudden I see some gnomes.
Uh-huh.
So that's, and now when I moved to the mountain, I totally dedicate myself to Mother Nature and to seeing what she wants me to paint. So I just open my heart to her, and I do the same thing, just putting colors on, usually music playing, and just put colors on, and then just keep playing with it, and then I start seeing what pictures are hidden in it.
And your name actually means child of nature, isn't that right, Barbara?
Yeah, for all the Barbaras that are listening, let me save you, because in the books they say Barbara means stranger or barbarian.
Oh!
And so, you know, that's not very happy. And then one time I was reading in this book, and it was an Aramaic translation of the Bible, and they said that bara means nature in Aramaic. And I know that bar means child of. And so bara means child of nature.
Uh-huh.
And in those times, within the city, if the people who lived out on the land, in the wild, came in, they would be barbarians.
Uh-huh.
And they would be strangers because they weren't from the city.
Right.
I find almost every Barbara identifies with being a child of nature.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful. Well, then you developed, since you've been on this land and in the amphitheater, you've developed a relationship with the spirits of nature. Tell me how that started for you.
Well, of course, it started actually with them showing up in my artwork.
Uh-huh.
And then I started noticing maybe spots I saw one time with just rain dripping down and on a roof. and where it was dark or looked like gnome. You know, the shape of a gnome.
Right.
But when I moved to the land, I was walking to the amphitheater, and I was aware of a very large spirit walking with me. And when I looked with my inner sight, why, it was a gnome. And I've seen him, at that time, I saw him in trees and in this house. When, not all the time, but when there were people here that were open to the spirit world, he would be in the house, and he'd be as tall as the ceiling.
Oh.
You know, 'cause he just, you know, filled the whole room. So I thought that was energy. He could come in on their energy,
mm-hmm.
but he couldn't. He never showed up other times.
Uh-huh.
So then it started when I'd walk to the amphitheater, I would feel his presence there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started, you know, saying hello and getting feelings of things that he was trying to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we developed a friendship.
Uh-huh. And do you have a name for this gnome? Just
I call him Mono.
Mono. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So over time, you've collected writings and things from
Mono,
is that right?
Well, there was one time, you know, when I went to the amphitheater and I greeted him and greeted all the trees. And then he said, tomorrow I would like you to bring your computer down and sit with your back to the tree I call the mother tree, and then just write whatever, visualize me in front of you and write whatever comes into your mind.
Ah.
So I did that. And basically what he was saying is when you step outside and you feel the freshness of the air, that's Mother Nature's blessing. That's her darshan.
Uh-huh.
And so breathe it in and say thank you.
Uh-huh.
And then to say hello to the plants.
Uh-huh.
And when I was through, he said, okay, thank you, and now come back every morning until you leave on your trip, which was 3 months away. So I came back every morning for three months,
uh-huh.
and then continued doing that when I came back. And so I have lots and lots of notes, but I heard him, the voice say, saying hello, so many times I thought I was making it up, because
mm-hmm.
that seemed like the major thing. But what he said, speaking to nature is the major thing, because the nature spirits need to relate with humans,
mm-hmm.
because there's been so much separation between human and nature,
mm-hmm.
and as we move into the next age, nature has got to be recognized and honored and supported. All of the storms that we have and the things that are happening, I've been told, is human thought forms, nature throwing off human thought forms.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do it as a storm, because mm-hmm. humans, are so many are afraid,
mm-hmm.
and that energy goes into nature, and nature has to transmute it.
Yes.
And sometimes the only way they can transmute it is with a hurricane.
Yes, yes, or the tornadoes we've had recently.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. Well, getting information from nature, I think, it's not only just giving information, but it's really about that relationship, isn't
Building
it?
Building a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a friend who was a gardener at a Vedanta center. His name was Brother Philip, a beautiful, holy man. And he told that as he worked in the garden, there was one plant that always reached out and touched him. He could try to avoid that plant, you know, just to see what would happen, and somehow the plant would reach out and touch him, because the plant loved him.
Ah, yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Well, that's just something that a lot of people don't really understand, I think, that nature just wants to love us,
mm-hmm.
and wants to give us support mm-hmm. in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think so often we resist that relationship, especially those of us who live out in nature. We resist it because we're not thinking it to be an important thing that will help us in our day, but it actually does help us every single day if we listen.
Well, and at this point, you know, living here for 26 years and relating for all that time, there was a period almost 10 years ago that I was told that I was being trusted to have a there were a lot of little energies. I called them gnomes, because I just named all the earth spirits gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to come in the house and live with me. and because they needed to learn how to relate with humans, and I was labeled a safe human.
Uh-huh.
And so just today, as I was packing, I couldn't find a certain scarf, and so I asked them to help me find it, and I reached all around them, and it wasn't there. And then as I walked away, I stepped on something, and it was the scarf.
Uh-huh.
So over and over again, they helped me find things. They've been very, very helpful.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. And I think it's that relationship that's so important that Mother Nature is trying to help us understand.
Yeah.
Through people like yourself and like the work I do as well, that relationship with the spirit of nature comes in many, many forms. It
Yes.
comes through the animals, it comes through the trees and the rocks, and it comes through the earth itself. And sometimes it individuates as separate little spirits, and sometimes it's part of a collective
mm-hmm.
awareness. So I think it's so important, but it's actually really alive and vital, and it does communicate with us if we just listen.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people here, they just don't know what they're hearing.
Yes.
I got an email from a woman who said that she used to live in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and she was taking a class in herbal identity and learning what the herbs do. And they were given a plant to look at and discern what that plant could do, because
mm-hmm.
there's certain identifying marks. She said she held the plant, she'd never seen it before, and she just knew
mm-hmm.
exactly what the plant was for. And the teacher said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that 3 times in that class. And then there was another time in her life where she just knew what
mm-hmm.
a plant was.
Mm-hmm.
That was the nature spirit talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plant talking to her.
Yes.
And she just thought it was interesting. But if we knew that we could relate with them and that they're there to help us, we could actually show them the respect and the gratitude.
Right. I think it's so important that respect and gratitude, because that seems to be, for myself, I know when I'm giving offerings or offerings, a little food from my plate, or saying thank you with a little tobacco or cornmeal, that those gestures actually open up doorways to that communication, and it helps me establish a relationship. It's one way to do it. Another way is to sit and ask for that
mm-hmm.
to come to you, and so when you want to have that communication, you can do it by just setting that intention and putting it out there. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
And I, what I have found for myself, and I've shared this with others, if you're wanting to make communication, do just as I was guided to do. Sit with your back to a tree with a laptop or a pencil and paper. Ask what you want, and then write every thought that comes into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that will establish a connection, and then you can go back and read it. If I don't do that, I think, oh man, that was great. And I stand up and I can't remember what it was, because I'm in another dimension.
Yes.
When I am receiving.
Right. And you're in an altered state there, you know, giving that receptive mode. And the minute you activate the doing part of your brain, it closes off the intuitive receptive part. So that's really wonderful, really good thing for people to know about, how they can hear that information. So.
I was at Findhorn once years ago, and I took a workshop on communicating with nature. I was trying to think if I lived up here at that time or not. I don't know. But what they said, which was really interesting, and they had us do it, said to go sit by a plant. And in this case, I sat by a house plant. And if there's a letter that you need to write that's really difficult, just ask the plant to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. I wrote a letter something I needed to share with somebody that was really difficult. And it just looked kind of like that woman knowing what the plant was doing.
Mm-hmm.
The energy just came and the letter just flowed.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's another way to interact and to recognize that I'd been gifted, and to recognize that I want to say thank you.
Yes.
And I found I like to touch the plant, and the plant likes that, just to rub it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really wonderful to hear. You can do this with house plants. You don't have to live in a forest on 12
exactly.
acres of property. So,
yeah.
So you have several things that are out available for people on your website, and
yes.
I want to talk a little bit about that because you have so many offerings. And that's at barbarathomas.info, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the things that you have on your website so that people can better understand how we can relate to nature in a different way. Will you talk a little bit about that?
Well, on the website at the beginning of the year, Mono, my gnome, tent friend and teacher, wanted me to do a blog of all the messages that I have. I have hundreds of pages of messages.
Uh-huh.
And I just was busy doing other projects that he's given me. And so he said, well, ask Mary Jane DiPiero and see if she would write it. So I asked Mary Jane. And so we're collaborating on a blog. And she's going through all of my notes and putting it that information out. And it's so perfect because she's in a position of, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of her process in the, well, we just did the 11th blog,
right.
was just looking at her own, Mono's information, then looking at her own process
uh-huh.
of finding ways within herself to believe that it's really real.
Uh-huh.
And she had some experiences this last weekend, so I'll be interested what happened in her blog. But I've written a book called The Burned Woman,
mm-hmm.
and you can get that on Amazon. And then I've also was guided to do a DVD on, it's called Healing Burned Woman, because I have the whole Burned Woman story in it, and then I have Barbara's story,
mm-hmm.
which is my relationship with nature, and then I have nature's story, which is a lot of talking about what Mono has told me on the land,
mm-hmm.
and they're all illustrated with my paintings.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that I have created, and it's so funny. I mean, spirit is so funny. Those of you that have worked with, I get thinking I'm through. And then they say, oh, by the way. And then it's off on another tangent that supports the first thing. And then I think I'm through and I, oh, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Just put this in and just do that. But it fine-tunes it. It's beautiful. They don't, they're very helpful in the process.
Yes, yes. So how did Burned Woman develop for you?
Well, that was very magical. And right now I'm writing a book called Celebrating the Magic of Jim's Road, because this road that my property is on was created as an artist colony, was developed here. And the woman, when they were looking for the place, they said, your feet will know when you've touched the land. And they came here one stormy, stormy time. The amphitheater was full of fallen limbs. But the minute she got down there, she knew this was the place.
Mm.
So part of the magic of Jim's Road is this interaction with the elementals. And so I woke up one night hearing words saying, there once was a time, a horrible time. There once was a time, a horrible time. There once was a time, a horrible time. It went on and on and on and on. And I started to lay down and go back to sleep. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, something's going on here. So I got up and I wrote that into my computer. Then line by line, I wrote this book about a woman that had been burned by her community when the Inquisition came through and created fear.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the village healer. She was the village wise woman. She had interacted with ceremony and healed. One line I love, she said, what's happened to you? I've loved you. We've danced together. We've played together. I healed your kitty's paw.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see somebody, child, bringing the little kitty in for her to heal. And she just rubbed her hands over it, and the wound closed.
Mm-hmm.
So I self-published that, And then I started using it for a workshop so people could discern where their lives were being blocked from the history of the Inquisition, when millions of people were killed mm-hmm. over a 300-year period. Because I feel that the collective consciousness holds that fear,
yes.
and people are afraid to be different. If they see auras, they're scared,
yes.
or they don't ever tell anybody.
Yes.
If they hear voices, they think, I've heard many times, people think I'm crazy.
Yes.
So, just so many.
I get that very often, and I've had clients that have been diagnosed even with schizophrenia when actually, when I look at their energy field and they talk about what they hear, they're actually spirits trying to talk to them.
Mm.
And now sometimes they are schizophrenic, but more times than not, those are disenfranchised parts of themselves that are trying to reintegrate, that are trying to talk to them. But I think there's so much weight put on that, on the idea that we might be crazy, instead of the fact that we might actually be hearing spirits and spirits
yeah.
of nature that are trying to help us.
And open that world between the human and the spiritual dimension
right.
so that we can look to the angels and the ascended ones for help.
Yes.
And not block them out when they finally do reach through.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Robin, I need to do something about my fireplace.
Okay.
Fire.
We'll take a little break here. And we'll be right back with Barbara Thomas at barbarathomas.info. And this is Robin White Turtle listening. And we're on the show Evolve on Blog Talk Radio, Firefly Willows Live. Robin White Turtle listening, and we're back. I wanted to let you know about a few things that are happening. If you go to my website, www.thecenterforthesoul.com, you can see that there are several workshops coming up. One is Learning to Love Yourself with HeartPath. HeartPath is a process I developed that will help you create more peace and harmony within yourself and in your relationships. It will help you to change your enemies into allies, and it will help you to care for yourself in a deeper, more harmonious way. We're going to be integrating drawings and paintings and reflective writing into the process, and it's Sunday, November 24th, that's this Sunday, 1 to 5 p.m., in a private studio in Palo Alto. And if you go to my website, thecenterforthesoul.com, you'll find ways to register for that. I'm also having a Heart and Soul workshop on December 8th from 12 to 5 in Santa Cruz, and you can check that out if you're in the area. And then I'll be doing a telecast or podcast that will be on the air on Tuesday the 26th and December 3rd, and that is supporting a lot of self
self-health and vibrancy. I'll be doing that with Christine Roche. And we're excited because we're going to go to Hawaii, and this podcast will help you learn more about that as well. So we're going to swim with the dolphins and have a great time. So love to have you be a part of that free telecast, and the telecast will have free gifts associated with it. So you can connect with that on my website. And now we're going to return to the Barbara Thomas interview, talking about nature and ways that you can connect with nature and some of the magical things in Barbara's world that help all of us.
Okay, and so we're back with Barbara Thomas, and who's an author and an artist, and we're talking about her work and how she relates to nature, which I think is so instructive for all of us. So glad to be back. So when we left off, Barbara, we were talking about your book, Burned Woman, and you have a DVD, is that right?
Yes, and that's called Healing Burned Woman, because it's just putting out the need to relate with nature, and that's, mm-hmm. that would be the healing of the burned woman,
mm-hmm.
Because the burned woman within us is the one that keeps us from being open to the magic and the mystery
yes.
of life that comes to us through relating with nature and the angels.
Right. Young. And there are aspects of all of us in the collective, as we mentioned before, that are really terrified of living our true, authentic self.
Yeah.
And those fears and those angers that we might have from other lifetimes or other times when we were relating on the earth, when it wasn't as safe as it is today in the United States anyway, they're still in our bodies. They're still
yeah.
in the collective,
mm-hmm.
and they're in our deep soul expression. And so it seems really imperative that we have a way to heal, and this book is and the DVD is a way to heal this collective wound, I would say. So
yes, that's certainly the hope and prayer for it.
Uh-huh. So talk a little about, you have three different sections on the DVD. One is...
Well, actually there are four.
Oh, four,
yeah.
Okay.
So the first one is Burned Woman's story, which sets the tone of the separation that we have created with nature.
Mm-hmm.
The second is Barbara's story, just telling how I woke up to it, telling my experiences. There's one I love. I was working in the garden, digging a trench for asparagus, and it took me 3 days to dig this. And on the third day, I just leaned back. I went, and I saw a little gnome in front of me. I'd never seen a gnome before. It was with my inner eye. And he's standing there with his feet apart and his hands on his hip. And he said, "You have not once asked for help." And that's all, you know, and
that's
then he disappeared.
He uh-huh.
But after that, I started when I had to carry suitcases upstairs asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And at the amphitheater, there's stairs that go down, and you can walk down or you can do a circle around. I usually go the circle around, and then I would walk up the stairs just for the exercise. And it's like a three-story walk. And so I started, you know, calling to the nature spirits to help me get up make it easy to get up the stairs. And I started seeing these funny pictures. I'd see them throw a lasso down and put it around my waist and then pull to get it up. And then, or I'd see one behind me pushing and another one pulling.
Uh-huh.
And or sometimes I'd get this feeling of one on each side of me holding my elbows and helping me up. So since there were always two, I've named them Yo-Ho and Heave-Ho. And it was a fun relationship.
Right.
And it made it easier to walk up and do what I needed to do that was going to take strength.
Well, you know, since you told me that story, I have utilized the help of the spirits of nature and the gnomes to help me when I'm trying to deal with things. And since, you know, I live alone, and as you live alone, sometimes it's difficult. You know, there's nobody else around. And it's really helped a lot, because I find that I have more energy and I have less stress when I ask their help, and
yeah.
they're right there. They're really happy to help.
Well, just preparing for you to come, I was a bit behind, and so I just stopped and I said, I want to be completely ready to go when Robin arrives. And then I just kept going, and I was.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and by asking, that seems to create a space for it to happen.
Yes, it does. So I want to get back a little to your DVD, because you said you had four parts
of it. Okay. So that was the one, you know, doing a Just Burns Woman. Oh, by the way, Barbara, you have your story, too. Okay, I'll do my story. So I did that. And, oh, by the way, Barbara, you should, you know, do nature's story, because nature is really involved. Nature lost their human companions as a result of the Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Those that were relating with them were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, they had to move. They moved deeper into, away from the surface of the earth. So I did that. And then, oh, by the way, Barbara, you and your husband and Hope spent 10 years creating a conscious living program that could be adjusted and applied to the healing of burned women. So I have a workshop in there. It's actually the third chapter,
mm-hmm.
where you just, in fact, I do this publicly,
mm-hmm.
and I just use my DVD, and we had my instructions, and then it says to pause, and then the people that are in the room can follow follow whatever I've said, and then they do it again, and they get the next section, and then pause, and then they interact and do it,
mm-hmm.
and it's been very effective. I did this workshop at East West Bookstore,
mm-hmm.
last year, and I'll be doing it again this spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have been so touched at how deep women who are wanting to wake up, some of the responses I get as they work together with this and share it are, so nice to know I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so nice to realize it's okay,
mm-hmm.
that I need to move forward and call on these energies more.
Yes.
I just feel so grateful that mm-hmm. people can mm-hmm. get that out of that program,
mm-hmm.
and then apply it in their lives.
Yes. Well, and there are men too that can wake up to this, but it seems that women are kind of leading the way right now. And don't you think that's part of the new
It's my understanding. Well, because women have been so left out of the scene for millions of years, we have to come back.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding that this next age is the age of women.
Yes.
And that means the feeling side of life for men.
Yes.
For them to be open to their own feeling side of life.
Right.
Yeah. No, I very definitely feel that the mother's returning.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So then you have the nature story, Barbara's story, and you have this workshop that you have on your DVD.
Yeah, I call it the awareness circle.
Uh-huh.
The stupid, I have to say stupid thing, the perfect name would have been your story.
Oh.
Because you do the workshop and you get your own awareness. Wouldn't
yes.
that have been great? Bird Woman's story, Barbara's story, nature's story, and your story.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't have that information at that time.
Yeah.
And later when I thought of it, I thought, oh, shucks.
Oh, well. Well, it's. I think conscious living is a very important piece of this whole way of life, really, because once you begin to start speaking to the spirits of nature, it becomes part of your life. It's a very important part.
Yeah.
At least that's my feeling. I know I can't stop doing that because they're helping me so much.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm, there is not another way of life to go back to that's better. This is the better way of life, connecting with nature. At least it is for me. I know
true. It is for me, and I think in some way, it's true for everybody that wants to wake up.
Yes.
And is willing to. But it's really scary. My husband, somebody told me, was in a prayer group with him. He's no longer living, so I can tell it. But his prayer was, Lord, help me to wake up even though I don't want to. And wasn't that a sweet, honest prayer?
Yeah.
And that's how it is for many people.
Yes.
They just don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to what's there?
What does it mean if they wake up?
So I think that he spoke the truth for many.
That's a wonderful prayer. Well, your book, you said, came to you one line at a time. And then tell me about how the illustrations came to be.
As I was writing the book, I saw pictures that I had painted 30 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that I had painted a whole series of pictures of women. And I thought they were beautiful. And they weren't beautiful women. They were, but I was just learning to paint. So mm-hmm. Some of them are very crude and very raw. But I loved every one of them. And then a friend of mine who's a psychologist saw them. She said, "Oh, Barbara, you're really going through something, aren't you?" And I thought, "Oh." But I was. It was the beginning of my wake up.
Uh-huh.
And because I painted it out, things were happening inside of me that I wasn't aware of.
Yes.
I wasn't aware of all. In fact, something I do a lot, it's what I call scribble drawing.
Uh-huh.
And if I have an emotion that I don't know what it's about or I can't handle it, or I just take some sort of color and scribble on paper with it to get that energy out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes within the scribbles, I can see other pictures that make sense of what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So these pictures that you did, how did you know they went together with the story of Burned Woman?
Well, I just, you know, it's just a knowing.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a knowing. And then when I did type up the writing,
mm-hmm.
I would look at the pictures that I had, and then I saw which ones I felt fit with each statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put together a binder that uh-huh. had the words and these pictures.
Yeah, and so you had been doing these pictures for quite a while, hadn't you, before you got the story?
Is that right? Yeah, it was 30 years ago that I did all except the two. I did all the women
uh-huh.
except the two that are showing her being burned.
Uh-huh.
And those came before the story, actually. Uh-huh. I was talking with a friend on the phone, and I saw within my head a woman walking towards me, and she was very dark. And I realized that her skin had been burned.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized she'd been burned in the Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the studio and painted her.
Mm-hmm.
And as I painted her, I heard my inner voice say, "How could you do this?
Mm-hmm.
We were friends."
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I was, and then I made sounds, and I was kind of living the burning and at that time. And then I put those two paintings away, and I didn't show them to anybody for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did show them to two women that were here, that were spiritually awake, they said, "This is important, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
You should follow through with this."
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I'm not sure if the story came after that.
Yes.
The story came after that, after mm-hmm. they had told me I shouldn't hide them.
Uh-huh.
And then I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't put that together before. Always something new to learn.
So I think it's so fascinating how in art, you know, we can be doing something and not really realize the implications of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes if we try to jump ahead to figure it out, we kind of kill the energy of what has been trying to come through us.
If we try to figure it out, we move to the brain, the thinking,
right,
intellectual brain,
uh-huh.
and it's the intuitive one that brings things up from the deep inner.
Yeah.
So it's what I do as I'm painting. Sometimes I spend the night in the studio, and I'll paint. And then in the early morning, I look at the painting, and I see the picture in it.
Uh-huh.
And so then I'll get up and work with it. And sometimes I'll have to walk across the room, paint a little bit, walk back to be able to see it. But it's it'll eventually reveal its story.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because it's working in me.
Yes.
It's doing a process in me. And when I'm ready to hear or see or understand, then I get just kind of an awareness about it.
Yes, yes. I agree. I have the same thing happen. It's like when I'm doing artwork, sculpture, painting, drawing, whatever, all of a sudden I just have to do it. Like, there's no option. Mm-hmm. It's not about a choice. I just have to get it out. And once I get it out, then I can be more interactive with other people. But I need to have that time to get it out. Mm-hmm. And then when I do, it's like, oh, I needed that because of this that I'm going through or that I'm going through. And then I can be a better human to other people when I'm interacting with them.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's an important part of the creative process that a lot of maybe people at large that are not involved in making art don't really know about or don't understand. But I think it's a very imperative piece of being a creative person, don't you think?
I do too, and I think mm-hmm. everybody's a creative person.
Yes.
I read a quote, every child is born an artist mm-hmm. who unfortunately dies at an early age.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is a sad quote, but it's true that we all have artistic ability. I totally agree with that.
So I want to go back to that scribble drawing.
Yeah.
So for people who don't have any sense of artistic ability, and yet the possibility of getting things out through painting, just take a pastel, a Crayola, a colored pencil, and just scribble it on paper. Mm-hmm. It feels good to get the energy out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do with it whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember my grandmother used to sit on the phone, and she would make little scribbles on her pads of paper. And she would make, go around the corner and make all kinds of lines. And often there were faces in it that she would pull out of that,
mm-hmm.
just in her unconscious awareness of scribbling on a piece of paper. But she always had to have that piece of paper there to make little drawings. And I remember as a child being so fascinated by them because I thought, wow, look, Grandma, what you made. And she didn't think anything of it. She didn't validate it for herself, but I really loved those little drawings because they were so interesting.
Well, and they were innocent.
And they were innocent, yes.
She wasn't thinking about doing a doodle or yeah. something. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. So we had a wonderful conversation in preparing for this interview the other day about destiny, and I thought that is such an amazing thing for you to say at your wise age to talk about destiny a little bit. Do you recall what we were speaking
Not
about?
A bit. That's why I was looking forward to this interview. So, this is going to be fun because I was so busy I couldn't prepare for it. But, prime my pump.
Okay. Well, we talked a little bit about how your destiny is continuing to unfold. And how you're just beginning to understand what your destiny is, and here you are, an octogenarian.
Well, I'm 86 years old,
uh-huh.
and somebody made the statement, everyone has a destiny,
mm-hmm.
and the choices that are made, and opportunities come, and whether we take the opportunity, it kind of determines how much of our destiny we fulfill and how much we find, name it. So I just named my destiny last week.
Ah.
And my destiny is to serve Mother Nature and to relate with her children, which are the elemental, spiritual children.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for years, but
mm-hmm.
I never thought of it as my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, proud of myself. I have a destiny and I'm fulfilling it at my age.
Well, that's very inspiring because I think young people in particular often tell me when I'm working with them, what am I supposed to be doing with myself? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I was like, we don't always know what we're supposed to be doing. And I think sometimes just following our impulses and our energies of what we need to do for ourselves and with other people is our destiny, definitely.
Yeah. It's just like what's on your plate to be done.
Yes.
Like when I always wanted to paint, but I couldn't draw.
So
I thought I couldn't paint. And then I read something that said, when you have a strong desire to do something, then God's also giving you the ability.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I just need somebody to teach me.
Uh-huh.
And so I'd heard of this interesting teacher and in the adult education system, and so I went. But see, it was my painting that led me to see the gnomes.
Uh-huh.
And opened up my consciousness to the realm of nature.
Uh-huh.
And it was through my paintings that the book came out, and I could identify with, I think I was probably burned in the Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
That may be my story.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I always wanted to paint, and then following that, step by step, I was led to the recognition of my destiny as serving Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's such a beautiful statement of how we come into our own awareness of ourselves through the healing process, through our own healing process, and through just being with what is true for us. You
mm-hmm.
know, like we need, if you need to paint or write or do whatever you're doing, then that's what you need to do, and you need to make some time for it, or find a wedge of time to make that happen.
You know, so many times, I've talked with people that have the desire to paint, but they felt they needed a studio, they felt that they needed a space, and they couldn't paint because they didn't have any place in their house. And I said, for years, my studio was a suitcase with my supplies in it.
Uh-huh.
And I'd sit down and by the fireplace and with it on my lap.
Uh-huh.
And I was working with chalks at that time. And now that type of work I do with colored pencils.
Mm-hmm.
They're very easy. They're not messy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I do have a studio and I do paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I use acrylics because they don't smell, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're easy to work with the way I paint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I love how your relationship with the gnomes developed out of your artwork, and how your relationship with the spirits in the amphitheater, you know, developed, and how you've been guided to go down there. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things, besides the fact that, you know, just to greet Mother Nature, that's so important? Are there some other things that you've learned over the years? Because you have this blog now that that your friend is writing and helping get onto your website.
Well, I mentioned it loosely earlier when I lost that scar.
Mm-hmm.
They helped me find things. And
mm-hmm.
when I first got the idea years ago that I could ask for help to find something,
mm-hmm.
I was just sitting down saying, show me where that book is. I can't find that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there visualizing and calling for help, and I heard a voice in my head say, stop yammering, and get up and put things away. And then it was later, more information came. We can direct a moving object easier than we can direct a solid one.
Mm.
You know, that's how you roll things down a hill. You
mm-hmm.
see, if it's moving, you can direct it, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's hard to just move it. And so I did that. I got up and I started putting things away, and I found the book.
Uh-huh.
So my son John came in when he was in high school, and he couldn't find the keys to his car. And I said, go into your room and start putting things away. Ask to have you helped to find the keys. So, oh, Ma, you just do that to make me clean up my room. But he wasn't in there 3 seconds. The first thing he picked up to put away, the keys were under.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So they help us all the time.
Yeah.
When you sit down in the amphitheater and you talk to the spirits of nature there, do they help you in other ways? Like, I know you get information from them, but have they helped your body?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The first time, I actually was aware of them before, you know, it's when I was, after I first started seeing them in my painting, and I was very sick. And I have a friend that was writing a book about nature spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'll bring you my book so you can read it while you're recuperating. And so she brought it, and as I opened up the pages, I saw all these little beings. They were about 1 inch tall, jump out of the book, climb all over my body, open up spaces and pull out something that looked like a dried pea, and then they'd put a fresh one back in. So they went through my cells in my body and took out ones that were dead and put in fresh ones. Now often when I go to the amphitheater, I'll hear them say, lie on the earth so that we can adjust your body energy. Or sometimes I go down and they say, lean into the tree. You're way out of balance. We can't talk to you when you're so far out of balance. Let the tree bring you back to balance. So those are the ways for my body that has been helpful.
I heard one time I was doing a meditation and channeling information from my guides to the people that were at the meditation. And Wu Lan, who's one of my spirit teachers, said, just lay on the earth and let the earth rebalance you. And that was so instructive, and that had been a time after you and I had come out of the amphitheater, and that night he was, you know, being very clear that this is a way to help people heal themselves. And I have experienced tremendous healing just laying on the earth and letting them take things from me that I didn't need, you know. Just asking for that surrender prayer of, you know, take what I don't need and help me have more energy or help me with this. And they do, the nature itself, the earth itself helps you do that. But then I'm finding the guides, my spirit guides or my angels or the spirits, the known spirits of nature, are more than willing to help us regenerate our energies.
Oh, yeah, because when we do, we help them in exchange. But it's my understanding that their service to the great creator is to be of service to us, that they were created to serve. And when they can serve, then they're fulfilling their destiny. And when we don't know who they are, we don't know, you know, without that interaction, there's something missing for them.
Yes, there is. And I think we're needing their help right now, because the earth is so out of balance with the things that we've done to it that as humans, I mean, we can't deny the fact that humanity has harmed the earth in many ways. And there is a greater growing awareness that, you know, we can work with nature to help us restore ourselves, but also help restore the earth itself.
I study with the Radiant Rose Academy, and I called one out a while back that we call for the violet flame to go to Father Neptune to heal the water, bring the violet flame to the goddess Virgo to heal the earth, to the god Aries to heal the air, and to god Helios for the sun. And so they wanted and said it was so important for humans to call in these healing energies for these great gods that are responsible for all the waters. And right now, we need so many prayers for the ocean with the radiation that's coming across and killing the animals, killing the birds, and killing the fish, and then the birds that would eat off of the different fish. And, you know, it's terrible. And so the prayers, human prayers, for these huge projects in nature, and even when the storms go through, to just say, calm down now, calm down. First time I was in the big earthquake in Southern California, and not knowing anything, but just within me a knowing, and I kept saying, it's okay, honey, it's okay, you can stop now, this is enough, it's okay, stay steady. And, you know, just talking to the earth, because it was such a severe earthquake.
Right. Well, I know that the radiation from the Fukushima plant in Japan has been leaking since it erupted. And they're trying their best to try to get the leak stopped. But, you know, that affects the entire Pacific Ocean. So, you know, calling on the violet flame to send healing energy to the ocean is something we can do that can help us and help the ocean too, and help all the fish and all the living things in it. So,
and even if you go to the ocean, or even in your mind, just tell the ocean that you love it and you're so sorry that it's being poisoned, and to pray for inspiration from the higher ones on what can be done to neutralize the radiation, because the ascended beings know what to do, and they can't give information unless people ask.
Yeah.
And so just to call and say, I love this prayer for the ascended master's solution in this. And I just, you know, bring forth the ascended master's solution. Bring forth the ascended master's solution for all the decisions that Obama has to make. Bring forth the ascended master's solution to, you know, whatever. And it just, it's like it gives them permission to come because we're calling. And I don't know, when I first heard that we have been given free will and that the angels cannot help us unless we ask. They can put things in front of us and hint, but to actually intervene unless we ask or somebody has asked for us.
That's part of the big Earth experiment that I also get from my guides, is that we can't, they can't help us unless we ask them. So, and that's the same with the Earth. We can't really help the Earth unless we are in relationship to the Earth and have and ask for the help to come to the Earth or to help the waters or the oceans. So I agree. That's the same information I've gotten over and over again. So I encourage people to ask for what it is you want. And that also puts the responsibility on each person to be responsible for what we're asking for. Because sometimes people don't really want to take on that responsibility. But I think it's a very important thing that we have to take on now.
Well, and we can take on the responsibility to ask. You know, calling the angels for healing, calling in. That's not any big deal. I mean, that's nothing that's going to threaten your life and and burn you. Just to do step up and call for help. And if you see, I mean, I remember years ago, a man fell off of a horse and right in front of me at the Rose Parade. And so I started praying for him, you know, because it was there in front of me, and to just, you know, call on the angels to help him and that he, you know, be, whatever was going on, be okay. So there's just gobs of things to pray for. And to call in the angels, to call, give them a job.
I think that makes, it certainly makes my life more interesting and much more easy. And less stressed, less stressful when I listen to guidance and ask them for help. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll come right back with Barbara Thomas, artist and author, and she has a website and a blog on barbarathomas.info. So we're back with Barbara Thomas, talking about art and her book, Burned Woman, and her DVD, Healing Burned Woman. And I just wanted to touch a little bit about the fact that you've traveled all over the world, Barbara, that you're here and you've been here now, you know, for the last 20-some years, but that you, before that you were, and while you've lived here, you've traveled all over the world. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was for you? I mean, what was the traveling?
Well, first, I have to say that I've been in 53 countries. Walked, you know, touched the land, but I need to confess that in Argentina, I only touched at the airport. But when I was 52, and I was there, I did touch the land, but I didn't walk it. There were a lot of different things that got us there, and I think that's part of my destiny as being in service to Mother Nature. I bicycled through Europe when I was 21. That's the first year after the war. First time Europe was opened. Jim came down from meditation one day and said, I got that I was to close my business and we're to travel in Europe for a year. I want to see what people are doing for peace in the world. And then we worked for an organization, and that's when we went to the third world countries to do leadership training. What I did a lot in relationship to nature, that I didn't think about it being that way, but it's again those scribble drawings. I would do it. It started in Paris. I did one in Paris, and I realized with the scribble, I'd done the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And then in London, I did another scribble drawing, and I had done the Piccadilly Circus.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was a circle.
Yes.
So I thought, you know, I think I'm tuning in to the angel of the cities.
Uh-huh.
And so then I intentionally did that. When mm-hmm. I would go someplace, I would intentionally open to the angel of the city and just do a scribble drawing. And one time I did this at the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And when, I don't remember what the scribble drawing looked like, but the words that came in my head, Mother Nature likes to look at a picture of herself.
Oh.
So it was like drawing was like naming a little drawing of Mother Nature in that place.
Oh.
So and when I traveled, I spent a lot of time on the inner.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim liked to do a lot of sightseeing, and he would do that with our hosts and hostess, and I would sometimes spend a day saying I'd need a day of prayer and fasting because
mm-hmm.
it was intense work. And,
yes.
And once a week I needed to have a day to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I did a lot of journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of journaling just to keep things clear for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Get caught up with myself.
Because
I found when I traveled, if I didn't do that, I'd come home, I'd either be sick or I would be so out of sorts.
Yeah,
because I'd lost my connection.
Uh-huh.
It takes every day for me to be connected.
Yes, I think establishing our connection is a real important thing. And then when you're traveling, it's easy to get disconnected because you're ungrounded mm-hmm. from your normal environment. So you're traveling, you've connected with the spirits of the city. That's so fascinating for people to know about, that each city has a spirit.
Oh, yeah.
I know when I was going back to the Midwest to be with my mom when she was ill, I had to connect. I really never liked my hometown very much, and I had to connect with the spirit of that community. I was guided to do that. Spirit said, you need to connect with the spirit of this town. And as I did, I recognized that the reason that I never really connected with it is because it was a place primarily to raise children and have families, and then most of the kids would leave town, or they would, if they stayed in town, then they would also do the same thing. They would raise kids and have families. There weren't that many, when I was growing up there weren't that many artists or writers that were really producing things that I was interested in, and most of my life has been spent making art or doing creative things or running my own business. So it wasn't a town I fit in very well. So when I tuned into that spirit of nature, I could kind of forgive myself and forgive the spirit of that town that's why I'd never quite fit there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it until I'd gone back. But there are spirits of communities, and it does help to connect to them, don't you think?
Oh, yes, and probably if you had connected with that spirit, when you would have found something that you really like there.
Yes.
You might even have found another artist.
Yes.
Someone else that was feeling that lost and because it couldn't connect.
Yes.
Another person. Yeah.
Well, and since I was there, I have found other artists that live there, and actually I'm also in communication with them often. You know, there are friends that are there and teaching or writing or doing different things. So, well, that's fascinating. So we've spent the last hour or so talking about the spirits of nature and how you connect with them, and I think this is such a wonderful teaching for people, Barbara, because so many people don't really understand how they can do that, and we've talked about it today. So I just want to thank you for being willing to be interviewed, and I'm so glad that you have your website and the DVD and your book available, and also the blog, which is helping people understand some of the things that nature can teach us. And,
good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be asked and get the information out.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows LIVE for Convergence with John Caracella, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Evolve was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE.